Welcome back, everybody, to the Talking Sportsbooks podcast as we continue to look back at some of the best moments from the first 50 editions of the show. Now, don't forget, you can access all of those editions of the show on the website at www.talkingsportsbooks.com or via any of the streaming providers. Now, books by football players. Well, there are many of those who have great stories to tell. Well, perhaps there are few. Now, how many players can recount lining up alongside Pele, Beckenbauer, Neeskens, Ginaglia, and who had only to mention the name of the football club to get access to any restaurant, any club, in fact, pretty much anywhere they wanted to go in New York City? Answer, not very many. But this was the story of a 20-year-old kid from the back streets of Aston in Birmingham, who was Villa at the time, until he was called into Ron Saunders' office one day and was told, listen, there's a bloke in the canteen, he wants to sign you, and we're letting you go. And thus began the whirlwind story of Steve Hunt and the time that he spent at the most glamorous football club in the entire world. And they were, of course, the New York Cosmos. So then you get this call to go to the manager, Ron Saunders' office, and he's told you there's a bloke in the canteen that wants to take you to New York and that he's accepted. So in other words, you haven't really got a choice.
No, not at all. It was, I mean, if you were summoned to Ron's office, you knew there was something up. But when he said, well, I've agreed a fee and I'm willing to let you go, I was just speechless. You know, I really was speechless because I thought things were going well at Villa. And the guy was in the canteen. So when he said New York, I didn't even realise they were playing football in New York. So
This was a former Birmingham City coach, wasn't it? Joe Mallet.
Yeah, absolutely wonderful bloke. Played a big part of my career over there. And he put the idea to me, but obviously the key was when he mentioned I'd have a decent player playing alongside me by the name of Pele. You can't get much better than that.
It wasn't only that either, because you actually doubled your salary. It must have been one of those days when on your way home on the bus or in your car, you must be wondering whether you're actually dreaming this.
Yeah. I think I doubled it to about £200 a week, which obviously was a lot of money then. Not compared to today's money, of course. But it wasn't all plain sailing. It really wasn't.
Yeah, a couple of weeks before, you've been training, running up and down hills in Birmingham. Yeah. And you get there and your pre-season is on the pink sand of Bermuda.
Correct. It's crazy, isn't it? It really is crazy. It was. I mean, I think that was the big thing when I started writing this book, that it dawned on me what a challenge it was, you know. Not just the fact it was a different culture and, you know, all that. It was the fact that I had to prove myself in front of world-class players. And I was 20 years old.
So you leave Bermuda and the next couple of stop-offs, you're in Las Vegas and Hawaii.
Yeah. It's a little bit different than going to Preston or Hull, isn't it, really?
I mean, what was it like when you landed in Hawaii? I mean, as you say, you're a 20-year-old kid from the back streets of Birmingham, and all of a sudden you're landing in Honolulu. It's like Hawaii 5-0.
Well, I didn't realise they didn't speak Birmingham over there. So I had a problem with that. But it was like fantasy. It's like Fantasy Island. It was just a whirlwind. We were over in Vegas first and then to Hawaii. I'd been to Bermuda, all in the space of 2 or 3 weeks, and then back to New York. And again, that was a massive eye-opener as well.
You didn't, or your wife in particular, didn't find it that easy to settle. You didn't have a car for a start. I noted a few interesting cab rides that you had in New York.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. You live and learn, don't you? By the time I went back the second year, I never got ripped off again. But yeah, we got dropped off in the wrong areas of New York, put it that way.
Now, the title of the book, I'm with the yeah. cosmos. Now, those four words were your passport to getting anything you wanted and going anywhere you felt that you wanted to go on any particular day. Tell us about your first visit to the legendary Studio 54 and Disco Sally.
Yeah, well, I mean, Disco Sally, yeah. I mean, obviously, it's not my kind of music. It was disco was very huge then. But I thought, I've got to go, you know, it's this place, you know, it's worldwide, it's legendary. But I felt a bit embarrassed jumping the queue, to be honest. You know, you got this long line of various looking people all staring at you, and you just walk up to the front and say, I'm with the cosmos, and then you walk. So it was kind of, you know, a lot of the lads thought it was great. I found it embarrassing. But yes, I mean, it was an experience, put it that way. It really was.
Who was so Disco Sally? Was what was he, 70 years old?
I think you've been underestimating it. I'd say she was probably in the 90s.
So you were in the roped-off VIP area. Were you schmoozing with any of the local stars of the time there? Truman Capote used to be in there a lot. Andy Warhol was in there. Do you ever bump into him?
No, I didn't know. I know Jagger used to go in and various people.
Debbie Harry used to be in there a lot, didn't she?
Do you know, these people may have been in there, but I don't think I blinked all the time I was inside the place. I just couldn't believe what was going on, you know, which obviously can't go into too much. But
oh, please do. Various, please do.
Well, people were disappearing for quite...
They all had that very funny thing where they all appeared to have runny noses. Yeah, I know the one.
This is it, yeah.
Now, this whole thing about rock and roll football, I mean, the dressing room is off limits to everybody over here and in Europe. Yeah. Over there, it was like the bigger the star you were, you could just roll in and have a chat with the players. I mean, you mentioned Robert Redford, Peter Frampton, who was huge back then, and Mick Jagger all coming into the dressing room.
Yeah, I mean, we had... I couldn't get my head around this to begin with, but you get used to it. From the final whistle, you had 10 minutes to get showered and get some clothes on. Otherwise, the entourage would just be in there. And obviously, it's male and female reporters. So literally 10 minutes, you know, all I wanted to do was have a beer or something just to relax. But you had to get that shower done. Otherwise, you know, there you were in your birthday suit. And obviously, being run by Warner Brothers and their connections to the entertainment world, they would bring people in every game. You know, Muhammad Ali came in to meet Pelé. That was a massive thing to see two icons, you know.
You described Pelé as a gentleman off the pitch, always stopping to sign autographs on it, a completely different... Yeah. person.
Oh, as soon as he crossed the white line, he could handle himself. I mean, as we know, he took a lot of stick over the years, you know, various people, tackles, not nice. But the first thing that stood out for me was not just his ability, which, you know, was enormous, but it's how he looked after himself. He would, you know, put his foot in, his elbow in. He'd make sure he weren't going to be messed about, put it that way.
Great stories from Steve Hunt talking about his time with the New York Cosmos. You can listen to the full feature now online at the website www.talkingsportsbooks.com or via any streaming provider. Now, the book, Steve Hunt, I'm with the Cosmos, is out now. That is it then for this best of moment from the first 50 editions of Talking Sportsbooks. And do stay tuned because we will have more to come very soon. From me though, Tim Cable, for the moment. Bye-bye for now.